Morning, church. As Brom said earlier, if we could just keep those of our number who are away, just one a few away, that we'll be travelling back today. We're starting our new series, and that is becoming a prayer warrior, or a warrior of prayer. And I want us to begin to see ourselves in this light. I want us to begin to focus on the fact that our prayer life is very important, but also that we are warriors, we are soldiers of the cross, and in our prayer life we need to be some serious warriors when addressing God and the issues that we have in our life. And so our series will consist of this. We're going to look at different people in the scriptures that prayed to God, and we're going to pick up principles or examples of things that God blessed within their life, the way they address God, and maybe the things we can begin to apply within our life and in our prayer life as we address our God. Amen. And so, as we work through the lesson this morning, I hope that you'll be encouraged, I hope that you'll be empowered, and that you'll take away a few things here this morning and over the next few weeks in our series of how we can begin to pray and pray prayers that really are effective within our lives. And so this morning in 2 Samuel chapter 7, we're going to look at David. We're going to look at the way he addresses God. And I hope that the three things that we deal with will empower you, encourage you, and that you walk away with knowing exactly how to apply that within your life. But 2 Samuel chapter 7 is interesting because what has happened here is that God has really granted Israel peace. And David as king is ruling now, and they have peace on every side. If we read verse 1 of chapter 7 of the book of 2 Samuel, we see that Israel has total peace. And during this time, as David sits around and David begins to look and to see this blessing that God has, he begins to look at the ark, or think of the ark. And he begins to say that, the ark needs a permanent dwelling place. He doesn't want it carried around anymore and goes from tent to tent. God has established a kingdom for himself, and David is ruling it. And there's no need for God's people to be dispersed or to travel or be like nomads anymore, because he's beginning to grow his nation now under the rule of David. And so David wants to build this temple. And so he thinks about it, and he talks to Nathan about it, and then God brings a word from Nathan to David. And it's interesting at the dialogue there between God and David, or Nathan and David rather, and what God says to David. And as we read from verses 13 onwards, it's incredible for us to see there what God says. He says that he's going to bless David. He says that he's going to ensure that his legacy lives on. But unfortunately, David is not going to build the temple. All right, David is not going to build the temple. He is going to establish this kingdom, and David will be remembered, but it will be through Solomon. And so as we think of this, in verse 18 and following, David then addresses God in prayer. And despite the fact that God was not going to use him to build this temple that he so desperately wanted to do, he still goes to God in prayer. And he goes to God in prayer just as he is. Not thinking about anything else, not thinking about his status, but he goes to God as he is and as a servant of God. And so our first point here this morning is in verse 18. And let's go to the book of 2 Samuel now, verse 7. And let's see what David says there. Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that you have brought me this far?" The first point that we need to consider is that we need to praise God for his greatness. So in our prayer life, when we get on our knees or wherever we are, we need to praise God for his greatness. Church, you with me? David didn't need to necessarily address God in this way, although he is God. I mean, David was king. But look at the way he approaches God. With all the power that he has, all the blessing that he has, everything that he has, he addresses God with understanding of how small and minute he really is in the presence, in the big scheme of things. But David also knew that everything that he had was from God. Still with me? And what's interesting in this passage of scripture, 9 times in this text, he uses the phrase, your servant. Still with me? 9 times he uses the phrase, your servant. And in fact, in the entire book of 1 and 2 Samuel, it comes up about 30, maybe more times, where David addresses himself as your servant toward God. He uses this phrase more than any other individual, any other man or woman of God throughout the Bible. Your servant is referred, David refers to himself as your servant more than any other individual. Which makes us understand and see here, David understood the rank, he understood his position, he understood where God, who God is, and he understood as he was approaching God, that God's greatness was huge. He also understood how reverent he ought to have been toward God. Let's go back to the text. So 9 times the idea of your servant, or David uses the phrase your servant. Just note in verse 27 here, for you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made a revelation to your servant, saying, I will build a house, therefore your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. So in verse 27, twice he uses that. Look at verse 29 now as well. Now therefore may it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, has spoken, and your blessing may... with your blessing may the house of your servant be blessed forever. So in verse 27 and 29, twice he's so conscious and mindful of the fact that he's a servant of God. Whenever we approach God, when we approach the throne of the Most High, we need to understand that we are his servant. Church, you with me? We are his servant. And we are going to him as a servant, understanding his greatness, his power, his glory. Look at verse 19. And yet this was insignificant in your eyes, O Lord God, for you have spoken also of the house of your servant concerning the distant future, and this is the custom of man, O Lord God. So David is saying, God, I'm so small. I'm this minute compared to you. Yet you don't even consider this. You see me as something incredible. You see me as great in your eyes. And God, I want to give you praise for that. Church, you saw with me, it's important that we get there this morning and understand this, because as we address God, if we have this confidence knowing how God sees us, as we address him in faith, with power, with conviction, and God hears those prayers that we offer up to him. But I also want you to note here, as he addresses and acknowledges this greatness of God, this humility that he approaches God with, God blesses him. He's not going to build a temple, but God is going to continue to bless him. And God elevates us when we address him with reverence and with a heart of humility. And if you go into chapter 8 now, I want to show you exactly what God does for him. And remember, they've had peace. They're enjoying this reign. But God is going to bless him beyond this. Go with me to chapter 8 and let's see what God does. Look at verse 1. Now after this, it came about that David defeated the Philistines. You see that? A nation that was a thorn in the flesh for Israel. And here the text says David defeated them. Drop down to verse 2. The text says again, he what, church? He defeated Moab. Look at verse 3. Then David did what, church? He defeated Hadadezer. Verse 4 says David captured. Verse 5 said when the Arameans of Damascus came to help the king, David killed, he defeated. And the text goes on and on and on and on through chapter 8 of how God blesses David in victory over his enemies. Now this is because of his heart and his acknowledgement of who God is. And as he approaches the throne of God, of grace, he's understanding the greatness of God. Let's look at verse 21. For the sake of your word and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness to let your servant know. In other words, David is understanding this and seeing this, that God is great. And he's acknowledging God's greatness. And he's saying, I am only who I am, I'm where I'm at, because of you. Because your greatness, your grace has allowed me
to reach that part of my life. Let's go back to verse 15 and let's see the next point. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Remember, God is telling David now, you're not going to build the temple. Your son is going to build the temple. Your son is going to be your legacy. And he says, I'm not going to take it away from you the way I did with Saul. So the second point is that we need to praise God for his grace. We need to praise him for his grace in our prayer life. Remember, Saul had the opportunity in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13 and following. He had the opportunity to basically have the kingdom and for his legacy to continue. But because of his disobedience, God chooses David. And it's interesting that in the text, this is the first time that David ever hears this directly, that his kingdom is going to continue to be established. You with me, church? Up to this point, this is the first time that God directly addresses him through Nathan, obviously, and that his kingdom is going to rule forever, and he will be the one from which the legacy will continue, obviously through Solomon. 16 says, your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. Church, you with me? Do you see that? So God's not saying that it's going to be for a time. He's saying forever. Until today, throughout the life of Jewish history and tradition, David was held in high regard. In fact, Jesus comes from the line of David, doesn't he? 17, in accordance with all these words and all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. We need to understand that we don't live for ourselves, church. We don't live for ourselves. And although sometimes we may not understand, and we may ask God for certain things that we don't get, we need to still praise him for his grace. For where he's brought us to, from where he's brought us from and taking us to. But the reason I say this is simply for this reason, is that David did great things for God, didn't he? And he brought Israel to a point of peace and victory. But that's what his purpose was. His purpose was not going to be to build the temple. God was going to use him to destroy nations and bring about peace within national Israel. But his purpose was never going to be to build the temple. That would be Solomon's purpose. But God needed David in order for Solomon to be established. And God needed to set the foundation of David through his might and his power and his rule in order for Solomon to rule effectively. Make sense, church? So too in our life, there are going to be things that we may ask God for, and God may not answer those prayers. But we've got to still understand that perhaps there's a reason we don't have it or are not getting it. Because maybe that's not our purpose. Maybe my purpose is to get this far, that someone else is going to carry on. Do you remember even with Moses? Did he take Israel into the promised land, church? We know it was because of his disobedience, but that was not his purpose. Who led Israel into the promised land? Joshua. Remember? So we need to understand that from time to time and within our life, through our generations, there's going to be specific generations that will do specific things, and the next generation will carry on and carry on. We're not going to be able to do everything within our lifetime. God will bless us and he will use us as best he can. But there will be a time when the next generation will build on the foundation that we lay. So may we lay a solid foundation and may we start in our prayer life. Third point, let's go to verse 23 and 24 now. And what one nation on earth is like your people Israel, who God went to redeem for himself as a people and to make a name for himself and to do great things for you and awesome things for your land before your people whom you have redeemed for yourself from Egypt, from nations and their gods. 24. For you have established for yourself your people Israel as your own people forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. Praise God for his goodness is point 3. Praise him for his goodness.
And I want you to note how many times God brings about the idea of you and I being His people. Church, are you still with me? We belong to God. Amen? And this, look at how many times He brings it up.
In fact, there's three times that He brings out the idea of, or the phrase He uses, your people.
But look how many times the idea of us being attached to God, or Him being attached to us, or we being one with Him,
is brought about in just two verses here. Verse 23, and what one nation, and I'll emphasize it, one nation on the earth is like your people, Israel, whom God went to redeem for Himself as a people, to make a name for Himself and to do a great thing for you and awesome things for your land before your people whom you have redeemed for yourself from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. Verse 24, for you have established yourself, your people Israel, as your own people forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God.
There's some serious possession here. God is showing us how attached He is to us as His people. And how awesome is that to have a God who cares about you. A God who will lead you, who will bless you, who will bring about victory in your life. If you will just understand, just acknowledge the fact that He is God of your life.
And this is why David was so successful. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 15 and following, it brings about the idea there that Israel's legacy was slavery. And God brings about redemption within their life.
And Deuteronomy chapter 15 is interesting because throughout the commands that God gives His people in Deuteronomy chapter 15, the idea of releasing or freedom is brought about all the time. And then in verse 15, God brings about this concept that He's the one who brings about redemption within our life. Still with me?
And so as we pray to Him, where we give Him praise for His goodness, because God is the one who has constantly redeemed us and redeems us from slavery. Amen? And here's the thing, verse 25. Now therefore, O Lord God, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and his house, confirm it forever, and do as you have spoken, that your name may be magnified forever by saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and may the house of your servant David be established before you. So we must praise God for His greatness, for His grace, and for His goodness.
And these are the ways we need to address Him as we approach His throne every single time. If you just think about where you're at right now, that you are a saved people, that you are a redeemed individual in the name of Jesus, how thankful should you be? And how much praise should you be giving God for the status that you hold within Him? Church, let's just consider that for a second. And so every single time you approach Him, may you thank Him for your salvation. May you be so mindful of the salvation that you have in Jesus, that when you kneel at the altar before Him, that that is one of the first things that you are so thankful for, that He has given you life and given it to you abundantly. And the thing this morning is, how will you continue to show that abundant life as you walk with Him? So what are the three things we need to do this morning when we pray to Him? We need to praise Him for His? For His? Church, don't be shy. For His greatness. We need to praise Him for His greatness. He is an awesome God. Amen. We need to praise Him for His grace. His grace that extends beyond what you and I can even begin to imagine. And we need to praise Him for His goodness. For He's a good God all the time. Irrespective of our situations, our circumstances, what we may think, He is a good God. Amen. And as we go this morning, may we be mindful of that. May He bless us. May we be empowered. And may we continue to acknowledge Him in all that we do. Let's stand and sing.